And we turn now to two of Illinois' representatives in Congress, both of whom voted in favor of the deal. U.S. Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy is a Democrat from Schaumburg. His district includes that city, Elgin, and O'Hare Airport. And U.S. Representative Nikki Budzinski is a Democrat from Springfield, whose district stretches from the Metro East region near St. Louis up through Springfield, Decatur, and over to Champaign-Urbana. Representative Krishnamoorthy and Budzinski, welcome to you both. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you.
I should note we invited two of our state's three Republican representatives in Congress to join us on the program as well. Representative Mike Bost of Murfreesboro and Darren LaHood of Peoria. Neither responded to multiple invitations. All right, representatives, I want to begin talking with you about Friday and Saturday. When did you know there was a deal coming together to avert this shutdown? And I wonder what that process was like from your perspective. And Representative Krishnamoorthy, I'll start with you.
Sure. Thanks, Brian. And great to be with Nikki on this program. You know, basically, we learned that very morning, probably not more than maybe 90 minutes before the final vote. It seemed like we were not in a good place at the start of the morning. It looked like we were going into shutdown. And then, you know, essentially Kevin McCarthy and his leadership team essentially dropped a bill on the floor. And they said it was a clean extension of funding, what they call a clean CR, clean continuing resolution. And at that point, you know, we basically had to review it and make sure it was indeed the case. And once everyone did, which was just within a few hours of when it dropped, it obviously passed with a huge bipartisan majority.
Representative Budzinski, can you take us into your perspective on that process? Representative Krishnamoorthy has been through a shutdown before, but this is new to you. This is your first term in Congress. What was that like for you?
Well, it was really, I mean, very chaotic leading up until Saturday. We had been already taking steps to be prepared for what looked like until really Saturday morning, the likelihood of a shutdown. So how we were preparing our staff in district, how we were starting to do some outreach within the district just to get prepared for the likelihood of what looked like a shutdown. I have to say, it was a tremendous relief that what we finally saw was Speaker McCarthy living up to really a commitment to a deal that he had made with the president back in June, a clean, at least a clean temporary lift for 45 days to keep our government functioning while we continue to have conversations around the budget. Just realizing what the real impact would be for the federal workforce. I have over 7,200 men and women that work in the federal workforce, including military personnel within the 13th district. So it would have had obviously some very serious ramifications if we did shut down. And I'm glad that really the Democratic caucus was able to lead us the way through in preventing that shutdown from happening.
Representative Krishnamoorthy, I mentioned that you have been through a shutdown before in the Congress. How is this one different from your perspective?
Well, the prior shutdown, which happened for 35 days during Donald Trump's presidency in 2018 and 2019, was what was called a partial shutdown because there were many appropriations bills that had been passed and actually signed into law, but some were not, including DHS, Department of Homeland Security. And as a consequence, once the partial shutdown happened and DHS was not funded, for instance, you know, TSA was not being paid at the airports. Even some of the air traffic controlling functions were not being paid. What I remember are two things very vividly. One is that, you know, we had reports of, you know, federal employees having to go to food banks to make ends meet, which is just appalling in my opinion. And then secondly, you know, once air traffic controllers started to call in sick and whole, you know, air traffic corridors were shut down in various parts of the country, you know, the flying public, the general public was incredibly mad, astonished this would happen.
Yeah.
And the shutdown ended.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break on the program and continue our conversation with Congressman Raja Krishnamurti and Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski, both of Illinois. This is The 21st Show. More to come after a short break. Please stay with us. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. In about 20 minutes, we're going to be talking about that truck that was carrying anhydrous ammonia crashed near Teutopolis outside Effingham in central Illinois. Five people were killed in that incident. Hundreds more had to be temporarily evacuated on account of the chemical leak. We'll be talking about what happened and through some of the bigger picture issues around that. Again, that's in about 20 minutes on the program. For now, we are talking about the federal government shutdown that was averted for at least 45 days from this weekend. In a surprise move, a strong bipartisan majority in the U.S. House and a overwhelming bipartisan majority in the U.S. Senate approved a temporary funding deal to avert a government shutdown. We are talking now about that with two of Illinois' representatives in Congress. Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski is a Democrat from Springfield in central Illinois, and Congressman Raja Krishnamurti is a Democrat from Schaumburg in the northwest suburbs of Illinois. And I should mention, we did invite at least two of our state's three Republican representatives in Congress to join us on the program, Representative Mike Bost and Representative Darren LaHood. Neither of them responded to multiple invitations to be with us today. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation on the program. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Representative Budzinski, can you take us into the Democratic reaction to this? Was this a hard sell or a hard vote among your colleagues voting for this temporary funding measure?
Well, I think what was positive about it, and we'd been very united on a bipartisan basis, quite frankly, largely within our own caucus supporting the debt ceiling deal that was back in June negotiated with Speaker McCarthy and with President Biden. And what that did was provided a framework for this budget that we are discussing to keep the government running. There was an agreement again made, passed on a bipartisan basis in Congress. And what I think why it received such overwhelming support on Saturday from our caucus is that it was largely a clean CR, which is really just a short-term resolution to keep our government functioning as we get to the budget. But all of these top-line numbers have really already been discussed and voted on. So really, I think there was just relief. For so long, for this last week, we were seeing more and more draconian cuts coming from the furthest right elements of the Republican caucus, and Speaker McCarthy not standing up to that. Up to a 30% cut was the last round of cuts that we voted on just on Friday. So we really thought, with that tenor and kind of the tone that was set by the speaker at that time, that we weren't going to get to a clean, temporary kind of short-term budget resolution. So very happy that we did. And what I think is largely was the deal that was made back in June was what we saw hit the floor this Saturday and was why there was so much bipartisan support.
I want to come back to some of the differences between Republicans and Democrats, or at least a faction of Republicans and Democrats and Republicans, on some of the points of spending and priorities for the federal government. But first, I do want to ask about Speaker McCarthy and Congressman Krishnamurti. We've already heard Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida saying he's going to file a motion to depose Speaker McCarthy. Democrats work with Republicans to avert a shutdown. I wonder, do you think Democrats are going to work with Speaker McCarthy to save his position? Representative Krishnamurti, that do you have a perspective on that? I think we might have lost Congressman Krishnamurti. So I guess, Representative Budzinski, I'll put that question to you. Are Democrats prepared to work with Speaker McCarthy to save him in that role?
Look, what I would say is, when I was first elected just only 9 months ago, my district sent me to Washington with a very clear message of, do the work of our communities, do the work of the people, And that's what I'm focused on. I think that we have to wait and see. Kind of, there are a lot of rumors swirling around this week around what Congressman Matt Gaetz is going to do, not going to do, procedural. What I'm really focused on specifically is getting the work done for my district. And I think that should be the focus for all of our colleagues, all of my colleagues, as far as continuing to move forward. You know, one thing that's kind of lost, to be honest, Brian, in this whole deadline with keeping the government functioning is on September 30th, the Farm Bill also expired. And so I've been working really hard with my Republican and Democratic colleagues on that issue. And I want to see us focus on those types of issues. Those are the issues that my constituents are really focused on. When they see the rest of this, whether it's a motion to vacate, et cetera, it just is political noise. I really think that's what people back home see. And so I think we need to stay focused on the business at hand, and cross these bridges when we get to them. Mm-hmm. We haven't got there yet. But that's been my focus.
I do want to come back to the Farm Bill question with you, Congresswoman. And I think we have Congressman Krishnamurti back with us. Are you there, sir?
I am. All right, sorry, great. Did I say something wrong?
No, no. I think I don't know what we're going to just chalk that up to the technology demons.
Okay.
But so I want to ask you about this question. We heard this is about... we've heard from at least one Republican saying they're going to move to depose Speaker McCarthy. This weekend, I heard your colleague, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, on CNN saying it's not up to Democrats to save Republicans and that, you know, their support would not be free. I wonder, how would you vote on that question? Do you see Democrats working with the Speaker to save his speakership?
Well, at this point, he doesn't have the votes within his caucus to survive a vote, according to, you know, most analysts. So he would require at least Democratic acquiescence in his continued speakership. I think that he would have to mend some trust issues, Brian. I think that he'd have to address a couple things that are very specific. For instance, I think that you have to take a threat of a shutdown off the table. I don't think that we should have a government shutdown even be threatened as leverage in a negotiation. So, you know, when we come up on November 17th, that should be off the table, first of all. And then secondly, I think there's going to need to be an up or down vote on Ukraine aid. I think there would be a huge bipartisan majority in favor of that aid if it were to come to the floor. And he should not, you know, prevent that from happening. And then finally, I think there's a lot of people who would say he needs to stick to his deal that he made earlier with Democrats with regard to top line spending, which is a fancy way of saying, you know, here's the budget numbers that we agreed to before, and he should stick to those as everyone expected he would, instead of diverting and trying to placate this hardline faction, which one of my senior Republican colleagues called the Taliban, because you just can't negotiate with them. He should work with Democrats and get a budget done.
I'm glad you mentioned the idea of aid for Ukraine, support for Ukraine, because, in fact, it was the lack of support for Ukraine in the compromise this weekend that prompted the one Democratic no vote, your Illinois colleague Mike Quigley, to vote against this deal. Representative Krishnamurti, how much of a priority should financial support for Ukraine be? Where do you rank that in terms of the importance of things that Democrats are prioritizing?
Well, first of all, we have to take care of Americans first. That's the number one concern that we have. And we have to make sure that, you know, programs aren't slashed the way that some of the hard right faction had demanded. I think that with regard to Ukraine, we have to recognize that this is a pivotal moment for the Ukrainians. They're fighting valiantly on the battlefield. I'm a member of the House Intelligence Committee, and I can tell you that they've made gains and they are making progress. But they can only continue to do so with our equipment and further aid. And they can't come to a resolution at the negotiating table unless that support is assured, because Vladimir Putin, at the end of the day, is hoping that support wanes for the Ukrainian cause in America and the West more generally. Finally, I would just say I'm the ranking member for this special select committee with regard to the Chinese Communist Party. the Chinese Communist Party is looking at this just as closely as Vladimir Putin. Our support for Ukraine, our support for democracy, and making sure that they prevail in this war that we would never want ourselves to enter and fight is crucial, not only in Ukraine, but around the world.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the averted government shutdown, the temporary deal for 45 days to keep the federal government operating. It had overwhelming bipartisan support in the Congress this weekend. We are talking about that with Congressman Raja Krishnamurti of Illinois and Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski, also of Illinois. We have a caller on the line. Bert is calling from Peoria Heights on line four. Bert, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you're welcome. I would just make a comment. The day after the vote, I looked up who voted, and Darren LaHood used to be my rep, but he's next door now after redrawing the district. And I think, and I wonder why, because it's a big rural district, a lot of farmers. I know there's $1.5 billion support checks to do coming out. That the farmers would be mad. I couldn't understand how he would vote no. But I think what he probably thought, and it's too bad you couldn't interview him because it would be interesting. He probably thought, well, if I vote no, I know it's going to pass anyway, but I can go back to my district, to the MAGA people, and say, hey, I voted no, you know. So that's my comment.
All right, Bert, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I should mention again, Representative Darren LaHood, a Republican of Peoria, the invitation stands to join us on the program to talk about this. Let's talk about some of those farm issues. Representative Budzinski, you mentioned that earlier. The farm bill expires. This is both farm money and policies. It also includes the SNAP program, formerly known as food stamps. We're going to be having a longer conversation about this tomorrow on the show. But from your perspective as a member of the House Ag Committee, where are some of the rifts to mend on the farm bill?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to get this done. I've been really honored to serve on this committee, which is largely known to be a bipartisan committee. Been able to introduce a number of initiatives that would support our communities throughout Central and Southern Illinois, and specifically our farmers that are growing so many of our corn and soybean, our top commodities in the state, trying to lead on initiatives around increasing funding and investment for research in agriculture, which is something that's critically important, supporting our young farmers. And how we're kind of bringing up that next generation of farmers into agriculture when we realize that the average age of a farmer in our country is now around 58 years old, and how important agriculture is to Illinois' overall economy. So I've been focusing on those substantive issues, and there is a lot of bipartisan agreement. But when the September 30th deadline came and went, there is really growing concern over the fact that we have yet to see any legislative language in committee as it relates to the farm bill and re-upping the farm bill. Between now and December 31st, there will not be any immediate, day-to-day pain points as it relates to those, impacted by an extension of a farm bill. But when it does get to be December 31st, that is when we're going to see two in particular programs that are going to impact people in their daily lives. One in particular is often referred to as the dairy cliff. If we're not able to get a farm bill done, what it will mean for families is that the language that should be in the farm bill to account for inflation and our current economic pressures as it relates to dairy will not be accounted for, and it will lead to skyrocketing prices of milk for families after December 31st because of that. So that's just one example of why we need to get this done. The second is around trade. Illinois is a major trading partner. We export a lot of our commodities. I'm privileged to represent all the way up to the Mississippi River, where we move a lot of those commodities along our inland waterways. And that's critically important for our economy. There are two trade programs that will actually run out of funding by December 31st. So I highlight those as two real upcoming pain points and why we need urgency around a bipartisan farm bill. And I'm working as hard as I can toward getting that done. Glad that we have this short-term agreement on keeping the government open, but now let's get back to the work of the Farm Bill and getting that accomplished.
Just a couple of minutes left in our time together. Representative Krishnamurti, many of the Republicans who voted against this compromise measure had spent the week voting for cuts that would have stripped funding from areas of government, for example, working to adapt to the warming planet and the extreme weather that's been associated with climate change. How much room is there for compromise in that area in particular?
Well, I think that there's always room for compromise, but I think that what I'm really concerned about is that there's kind of a cynical faction within the Republican Party who's what I call part of the vote no, hope yes caucus, where, you know, they basically vote no, knowing that others are going to vote yes and have things passed so that they can have their cake and eat it too with their base. They can say, I voted against this spending, but they actually secretly want it to happen, and they're glad that others passed it in the majority. I think the problem that you start to see when that type of behavior happens is that, you know, it's hard to really know what the outlines of a final deal look like, because people don't tell you how they're actually going to vote. I think that's happening repeatedly within the Republican caucus, by the way. And I think that because of that, it's hard to, you know, you need two to tango, and negotiating with a partner that's repeatedly changing the goalposts because they themselves don't know where their members stand is a big problem.
Congressman Krishnamurti and Congresswoman Budzinski, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st show. I'm sure there will be more to talk about in the coming months as we continue watching this issue unfold.
Thank you, Brian.
Hey, thank you so much.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurti is a Democrat from Schaumburg, and Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski is a Democrat from Springfield. Again, we did invite two of Illinois' Republican representatives in Congress to join us on the program today, Mike Bost of Murfreesboro and Darren LaHood of Peoria. Neither responded to multiple invitations. I hope we can talk with them soon on the program. Coming up after a short break, we're going to be talking about that truck crash outside Effingham in central Illinois. Anhydrous ammonia spilled into the air. 5 people were killed and hundreds had to be evacuated. We'll talk about the incident itself and some of the bigger picture implications coming out of it. That's after a short break. This is the 21st show. Please stay with us.